My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
On 9 wins. I got to ask you, though, about this Notre Dame-Texas A&M game and how big it is for Notre Dame. You talked about Florida State and the possibility that they could shake off that loss. It doesn't feel like to me, with what Notre Dame's got on the schedule and knowing they don't obviously have a conference championship game that they'll benefit from, that they've got to win this one. Is this already a playoff game for Notre Dame, and how do you see it playing out at Texas A&M?
Yeah, it kind of almost is a playoff game for Notre Dame, because we talked earlier about strength of schedule. You know, after this, they basically have, you know, Louisville at home. Georgia Tech is now a tougher game, maybe, than Notre Dame thought it'd be earlier in the year. They have Florida State and USC. So they literally have like a 3 or 4-game season. The other schools I didn't mention, Notre Dame's going to be a minimum of 21-point favorites against. I like A&M in this game. Mike Elko was at Notre Dame. He knows what Riley Leonard can do at quarterback. Yep. And also Notre Dame had, I know, you know, the offensive line didn't grab a lot of headlines, but they lost two starters in preseason. Notre Dame did. The starting left tackle is going to be a true freshman. Their left guard is going to be a redshirt freshman. And you're going to be going into a crazed atmosphere. The attitude in College Station, I'm told, is a total 180 difference than when Jimbo Fisher was there. And there's a lot of optimistic. And look, if Mike Elko can win at Duke, then what in the world is he going to do at A&M when he's got twice the resources there? The key for A&M is they got to keep their quarterback upright. That hurt him last year. Obviously, Elko wasn't there. But, you know, so going into the opener, the quarterback's healthy. I really like A&M in this game. And if Notre, you're right. If Notre Dame loses this, they do not have a lot of opportunities as far as quality opponents the rest of the way. Only two ranked teams the rest of the way. And they don't even play those until you get to November.
Right.
So if Notre Dame loses this, they may have to run the table to get to the playoff. I talked about 3-loss teams making it for the Power Five leagues. 3-loss Notre Dame's not getting in.
Sir.
Is a 2-loss Notre Dame team getting in? Boy, I'm not sure, because those 10 wins, you know, are not going to be against the highest quality of opponent. So, yeah, in a weird way, you know, we're not even out of August yet, and could it possibly be a playoff game for Notre Dame? Maybe this is their round of 32 for Notre Dame first week.
That's right. Hey, Brett, man, this was awesome.
Thank you, Brett.
Appreciate that. I'd ask you about conference realignment, but I really don't feel like being depressed on a Wednesday. So we appreciate the time, as
Thank
always.
Thank you so much, Brett.
Thank you.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Yes, sir. He is Brett McMurphy from the Action Network. Yeah, I don't want to hear him talk about UConn going to the Big 12, bro. I just can't. I don't have the stomach to do it.
No, you're right. It's depressing.
So, because that discussion we know does not involve Memphis. And if and until it does, I don't care about it.
I'm with you.
So
I'm with him.
We'll pass. But good stuff there from Brett McMurphy. We'll come back. Man, big show today. Isaac Bruce, Reverend Ike, going to join us at about 12:40 or so. So we'll talk to him about this opener for Memphis, what he's up to, and the most anticipated season in perhaps school history. Get his thoughts on all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, I just heard FM, ESPN.
Go. It's the Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Well, no shortage of big stories today in sports, I will tell you that. We'll lead off with Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook has signed with the Dallas Cowboys, and he will join their practice squad. The 53-man roster already includes Zeke Elliott, Rico Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn, and a fullback. So he would be eligible to be called up to the game day roster for the September 8th opener against the Browns. You're allowed three elevations from the practice squad to the 46-man game day roster, but got to be added to the 53-man after that to continue to be active. Dalvin Cook spent last season with the New York Jets, and he was abysmal. 214 yards, 3.2 yards per carry. He joined the Ravens in January, rushed for 23 yards on 8 carries in their divisional victory over the Texans, did not play in the title game in the AFC against the Chiefs. So now you have two 29-year-old running backs, conceivably, in Ezekiel Elliott and in Dalvin Cook. You combine the two. Obviously, this would have been the best backfield in the NFL in 2015.
Yeah.
But we are no longer in that year. We are now in 2024. So, look, a 29-year-old running back doesn't really make a difference. Doesn't really move the needle for me. I will say I did not realize Zeke was just 29. I thought he would have been older than 29.
Right.
But I think it's just the
mileage. Doesn't seem like him and Dalvin should be the same age.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's based on mileage.
Exactly. So look, you're just trying to get a different look. Dalvin Cook at one time was one of the best in the NFL at that position. But again, when you're talking about a 29-year-old running back, it's a lot different. 52-38 is how many rushing yards that he has over the last five seasons. Fourth most in the NFL in that span in the last 5 years. D. Henry, Josh Jacobs, Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook. So
I'm surprised. I'm gonna be honest with you that he was just sitting out there like this,
yeah,
in relatively good health, is what the reports have been.
Yeah.
Like he looked good. I'm surprised that it's taken this long for somebody to add him.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe that was always going to be the case, is that his market was going to start now once teams had cut down. You didn't need Dalvin Cook in camp. Maybe that's the case. Dallas needed some more help. I think they were smart to add some depth here, and I know he was only, 3.2 yards per carry in limited action last year, ended up getting with the Ravens and then barely playing. But I'd be more optimistic that there's tread still on those tires than I am in Ezekiel Elliott, to tell you the truth. And so,
right,
you know, let's see what Dalvin Cook's got. But I think this was smart, adding some depth to that running back room.
Yeah, look,
especially if he's in good shape.
There's no risk, right? It's not like there's any risk.
None, zero.
So see what you can get out of him. I mean, that's the way of the world now in 2024 with the running back position. You know, you're going to cycle through guys.
They got Deuce and they got the Dowdle dude.
Right? Yeah, Deuce and Dowdle.
Okay. And Ezekiel and Dalvin.
Yeah, I mean, we're rolling. We're rolling right now.
Well, the main one's CD, and we're good to go.
The vibes are incredible right now in Dallas. Obviously, you know, the arrow's all pointing up for this team. We're locked in. Trey Lance had a great preseason. And
not worried about Trey.
Now it's up to Dak to continue.
Oh, it's go time.
Yeah,
you're going to see a real quarterback.
I saw, from Cowboys media, they were like, there's no way CD would have agreed to this deal if he didn't know that Dak was going to be his quarterback.
Oh, please.
And I was like, I mean, you guys must be really stupid. Like, you guys are dumb as rocks. It's $136 million.
It's the same thing for Justin Jefferson. It doesn't matter if Kirk Cousins is your quarterback or whoever it is.
That man does not care who his quarterback is anymore. I mean.
Well, he should if he wants to win. Like now, you got the money locked in. But yes.
But I mean, you're not saying no to the Dallas offer of $136 million because there's uncertainty over Dak. No. And it also doesn't mean that you know either. It also doesn't mean that, oh, I'm signing this, therefore that means Dak is signing his.
No, it doesn't.
We know Dak's hitting the market.
Everybody seems to continue to assume that, although he isn't giving off those indications. There's no reason for him to show his hand here.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say it's going well with the Cowboys and have every intention of hitting free agency, and I don't know how his agent isn't just, if he's not decided on it, his agent should be telling him that every day. Like, the offers we will get if we hit the open market, it'll change everything you know. It's gonna set the new, you know, it's gonna set the new mark. You know, he's like we said, Schefter said, it could be not just $60 million, but 60+. Giants, Raiders,
right?
You know, who knows who else could be in the market for a QB by that point?
Yeah, I mean,
but they're gonna be willing to pay.
Yeah, Lewis Riddick said on your favorite show this morning that Dak's deal gets done only if he wants it to get done. Which why would he want it to get done?
Only if he has an extreme loyalty to that organization. He's putting aside that Jerry has always sort of slow played him, made him wait. Everything else you're setting to the side because you love being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
That's right.
Maybe that's what it is, but it would be bad business to not see what else is out there for you, and then still have the choice at that point to go back to Dallas, I would imagine. Now, if Jerry's going to pay what everybody else is paying, that's, you know, we don't know that yet. But, you know, you'll have a chance to take a little less for Dallas, but find out how high you can go.
Yep.
What are we talking about here? He's going to be several million above everybody else.
Yep.
You know, what's the high now, 55, 56?
If I'm his agent, there's no way. We're hitting the market, buddy. Too many teams need quarterbacks, and you're, you know, one of the best. So,
and Cowboys quarterback is great. You know, it's going to get you some deals, and it has that bed deal he's had the whole time. But let's not act like being the quarterback in the New York market for the Giants couldn't be just as lucrative for
absolutely
him.
Absolutely right.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's, you know, Raiders, you know, that's another story.
I mean, you're the quarterback of Las Vegas. I mean, the quarterback of one of the most iconic brands in the league. I mean, the pirate, I mean, that's just it honestly markets itself.
Okay.
I mean, it's
not
just,
same to me.
But. I mean, dude, y'all got a little stupid C. Okay, that's what y'all got. All right, that's y'all's logo, a little stupid orange C. We got a real design, a real pirate. You guys have a little Raiders. Stupid song. We've got poetry. Right,
mm-hmm.
we've got you know who remembers the Super Bowl shovel? Not really that many people, not really, right?
I'm talking about right now, though.
Yeah, but we both in the same boat in terms of our best days behind us.
No,
I mean you can fight against the dying of the light if you want to.
You think I still don't have a 4,000-yard pass?
Well,
come on, bro. Times have changed.
I love how.
Watch how you talk to me.
I love
now
how
when
Bears writers like love to revise history. I saw on one story on ESPN that the drafting of Caleb Williams is the team's first drafting of a franchise quarterback since Sid Luckman.
Yes.
That's fake news because you guys drafted Justin Fields.
No, he's not a franchise quarterback.
Well, I know,
and
but
Pittsburgh's
going
to prove that.
He was designed and drafted to be that. So it's not true that. You didn't try to draft
they're
franchise
saying,
quarterback.
This is the one. That's
also,
all they're saying.
Trubisky.
You're caught up in semantics.
Well, I just think it's inaccurate. You guys tried to draft, you know, just like anybody would do. You tried to draft quarterbacks. They didn't work out. That doesn't mean you didn't try.
Yeah, but those guys weren't number one picks.
Well, what was none Trubisky, two?
Yeah.
I mean, that counts.
You moved up from three.
Yeah.
I mean, but who went one that year?
I don't remember. I know Mahomes went that year, right?
Yeah, later.
I don't remember who went that year number one. But I'm just saying, you guys have tried before. I mean, anybody would.
Their point is they're saying with the number one pick, and this is the guy.
Yeah. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, Dak would come to the Raiders, be the face, have that silver and black, best uniforms in football, no doubt about that. And I saw a stat that Al Davis's final 207 games as the Raiders owner, the record is identical to his son's first 207 games as the Raiders owner.
Really?
It's identical. It's the same. How sick is that? And that was awful, right? I mean, the ending of Al's time with the Raiders was terrible.
Yep.
It was embarrassing. He's up there reading a letter to Lane Kiffin, drafting Jamarcus Russell and Darius Hayward Bay. I mean, Robert Gallery. The list goes on, and it's the same as it is right now in the first however many years of Mark. I mean, that's the kind of things I have to deal with. So you'll excuse me if I come off a little salty. You will have to.
It was Myles Garrett that year. So technically, it was the first quarterback.
Yeah, I mean,
you had your choice of the first quarterback.
That's all I'm saying is that you guys have tried before. Now Mitch sucks.
Tried to get a franchise QB.
Yeah,
yes.
But
Caleb has continued to put it. They hope to have their first franchise QB since Sid Luckman. They've missed.
Yes.
Or had bad plans or whatever it is.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I forgive you. It's fine. It's not a big deal. But this is not the first time you guys have tried to identify, you know, or address QB. Probably the most successful you'll be, though, for sure. But Dalvin Cook is a Dallas Cowboy. We'll see if at all how that moves the needle for them.
Next story.
We have not talked about this story whatsoever. The commercial bill had it first. Jason Munns over at the CA put it out a couple of days ago. I saw Daily Memphian 2 had it out, I think, today or yesterday. But Munns was first. And it's about the University of Memphis finalizing a lease extension, working on a lease extension with the FedEx Forum folks, with the Grizzlies folks. We know that, you know, basically the University of Memphis takes a payout from the Grizzlies every year depending upon actual turnstile count, actual butts and seats. If you get 10,000 or more in terms of average, you get a full, $800,000 payout. And then as you go down, and last year, remember, average turnstile count was in the 6,000s, you get less of a payout. If it goes below 6,000, where you were when you had Tubby Smith in here, then you get zero of the payout. And if it was two straight years, they can put you off the lease, which was never going to happen. The Grizzlies need a partner in FedEx Forum. They need the University of Memphis there as was originally intended to be, because you think about all those dates and everything else, and particularly what a good University of Memphis program pulls in there. Now, that's the numbers, as Ed Scott, the new athletic director, pointed out to Jason Munns. That's being reworked. We're only talking 2-year extension here rather than a longer-term lease because you've got the renovations coming up, which is smart. You're going to wait on that before you do a longer one, the renovations to FedEx Forum that we know are coming. But here's the key, too, and we've said this. It's really the number that Memphis has to get adjusted. It's that 10,000 butts and seats in terms of payout. Now, Ed Scott, and it's not very clear, he's talked about, you know, things are going to change. That formula for how we got paid for them is going to change in this 2-year lease, but how it does is not exactly clear. The point is this. Remember, this original lease was signed between the University of Memphis and FedEx Forum back in 2004. When you were putting, eventually, right, up to 07, 08, you could put 15, 16, 17, 18,000 in there.
Yep.
For where the program was getting to at that point, it was really starting to build up. And so that having in your lease agreement, hey, we'll put 10,000 plus on average in here to get the full payout was a good thing. We're probably in a day, set aside Memphis and the fact that this number's gone down over the last few years. We are probably in a day and age where that number, getting that number in college basketball on an average basis is probably too high. That's the other thing that's changed. College attendance has gone down. And so Memphis has long needed to rework this number, not just because it's coming up short on its own. Tubby, this is one of the reasons you switched to Penny. And I think that first year you went at, 8,900 around that? And it's steadily, it's dwindled since then. It's gone back down. The key is you want to get that lowered. And so this deal that you've got with FedEx Forum, you don't run the risk of not getting anything out of it like they had previously when they've gone below 6,000. So if all that makes, you know, it's dollars and cents, it gets a little bit boring, but the point is Memphis is needed. It's going to need a reworked lease. You've got 2 years here on this extension to sort of figure out what you want to do with the new format, how it's set up, the new seats. Yeah. But down the road, you're eventually going to have to get that number adjusted because I just don't think, whether it's Memphis or most other college basketball programs,
right,
you're not on average going to get 10,000 in there anymore. It's just different. It's a different time.
It is.
The Grizzlies are, you know, they're a different entity than they were than when you went into this agreement.
Yep.
And now there is, for most people in Memphis, for a lot of people, you're making a choice there. And it's, you know, this is no fault of any Hardaway. Like we said, it's college basketball attendance because it's so viewable now. You can see it on television. You're on, if you're not on one of the ESPNs, you're on ESPN Plus. We're just not going down the same ways that we were. And so to make this thing, you know, still a good deal from the Memphis side, it needed to be reworked.
Yeah, I mean, all your points are valid. It was negotiated at sort of peak time for Memphis.
Well, getting there, 2004.
Yeah, I mean, you could sort of see it coming.
It was coming.
And, you know,
back then you felt better about probably the Memphis crowds than you necessarily did about what, you know, the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies were still on a buildup.
Yeah, no question. Yeah. I mean, the Grizzlies were still new.
Right.
We didn't know how we felt about it.
More on Tigers, in a way.
And, you know, the Tigers, you know, Cal had won the NIT. He had been here for 4 years, you know. And they also, like, the world around Memphis has changed, as you point out. Like, it's just not necessary anymore with, you know, I sound like an old fogey here, but, like, with the quality of TV now, like, you don't have to get out, you don't have to park, you don't have to, I mean, the convenience of not going to a game in person is much easier, you know, just to sit at home and watch it,
yep.
You know? I mean, that's another factor, right? I mean, do I think 2,000 people on a game night could decide, yeah, I just don't feel like it, I'd rather watch it on TV? Absolutely. Whereas in 2004, you know, it was not that. It was not the same experience, right? Also, yeah, the program has underwhelmed. I mean, I don't know, you know, if you
last ever, season was 6,800, 6,827.
Yeah,
remember, you go below 6,000, you don't get the payout.
I don't know it would have been, you know, like what we've never seen it. We've never seen it really rolling since Cal left. We've never seen 4, 5, 6 straight years of tournaments of, you know, I mean, I guess we had that first four Josh, but I mean, that kind of, you know, that soured pretty quickly.
Munz points out, Penny's first year come, it got as high as 8,813. But that you're still not, that's the highest it's
been
under
highest
Penny.
Average?
That was the bang. Now, remember, you were coming from three. You were coming from three off Tubby.
So he did.
And so,
I mean, he did improve it.
He improved it by, he more than doubled it.
But he didn't
the
get
issue
over
is,
10.
It's gone. It didn't get over 10, but it's gone down since.
Right.
And that was pretty much, that was the height.
Now, that's so, not, I mean, you lost, so you lost 2,000 basically over 5 years, over 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, like COVID.
You'd rather be headed in the other direction.
Yeah.
Certainly. But
I mean, I buy that for sure.
That's the closest they've, Munz pointed, as close as they've come to the actual 10,000. More important, that it's an antiquated deal. That it's a deal that, you know, yes, if you had more success, if you were a perennial Sweet 16 team, maybe you're still touching those marks. But, in you know, right now, what's been, and I got to say it, an average college basketball program
right.
over the last few years.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, you gain nothing from deals like this. And so that's why they're renegotiating, not to mention that, you know, it's up. And so, you know, you got 2 years, and Ed Scott, I'm sure at some point will
right.
give us all the details on who's getting what and what part of what. Remember, because I guess FedEx Forum retains in this old deal parking and concessions, that's why they pay out to Memphis the 800,000 if they're over. It's pretty much along those lines, if they're over the 10,000. So, you know, figuring out who gets parking, all that, I mean, I guess FedEx Forum's going to continue to do that.
Yeah.
Be interested in the rest of those details.
Yeah, there was a story at ESPN in March about attendance.
Yes, down across the board.
Yeah.
Make that clear.
Average attendance for D1 men's basketball has fallen in the last 15 years. It was 53.25 in 07-08. To now the national average, and again, this is the national average. They're going to have small gyms and big teams and small teams. So it's just, you know, keep that in mind. But the average nationally is 43.54 in Division I men's basketball. So you're still, you know, above average.
Remember, your announced is much larger than that. We're talking
turnstile
count, too.
Yes.
So these are real numbers.
But
unfortunately, the real numbers are what determines how much you get in the payout.
Yeah, it's in the top seven men's college basketball conferences, combined average attendance dropped from 75,818 in 07-08 to 66,963. That's just combined average attendance in the top seven men's college basketball leagues. So, you know, again, you are seeing a trend around the country, even with the big time programs, even with Duke and UConn, et cetera. This includes them. You know, and I don't know if there's any one reason, you know. I think it's a lot. It's a lot of things. It's, you know, convenience, it's money, it's all those things, you know. So
in some ways, it's not altogether different than what Simmons Bank had become for the Memphis football program, which was too big to fill up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. If you'd said back in 07, 08 this was coming, you'd say, no way. I mean, that place was full, and you were selling literally the college recruits 18,000, an NBA arena of 18,000 people. I mean, that's what Cal was selling. It's what Josh sold those first few years. And it's just, you're not close to that now. You're, I mean, again, we're talking 6,827 was the average last year of actual people in an 18,000-seat building. It's almost, you've gotten to a point, and you're right, it's more factors than just your success. It's across the board.
Yep.
But that building is almost too big for you at this point.
Exactly. Exactly right.
It would be for most in college athletics.
It would.
To this point.
It would. You know, that's what the numbers show. So, anyway, good stuff there from
Munz over commercial bill.
Munz and the numbers there for sure. All right, we'll come back. Nyron Hawkins and Ike Bruce going to join us. We'll talk to them about the 93 team being honored, the Memphis football season, which is here, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.
On Sunday, September 8th, the Dallas Cowboys of the NFL begin the 2024 season live on 92.9 FM ESPN. Pregame begins at 3 p.m. with kickoff at 3:30. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys take on Myles Garrett and the Cleveland Browns. The Cowboys and the NFL live Sundays on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hi, this is Bob Kessling inviting you to follow all the exciting action of Tennessee football all season long. 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station. Tennessee opens the season Saturday against Chattanooga at Neyland Stadium. Ball network coverage starts at 9:45 a.m. Kickoff set for 11:45.
92.9 FM ESPN is the Mid-South's home of college football and the SEC. Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM ESPN.
It is week one for the University of Memphis football team, and accordingly, we brought in some former Tiger greats, certainly former Memphis State, St. Louis, Rams star, Super Bowl champion, and Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce. He joins us on the phone and with us here in studio
I want to make sure I get this right because it's very Pastor Nyrone Hawkins, former Tigers lineman from 88 to 92, former past president of the M Club Board of Directors. He's now executive director of the Memphis Gridiron Ministries. Talked to you about that last year, got a chance to. And also, as I mentioned, the recently installed pastor at Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church. So we got a Rev on the phone, and we got a pastor in the studio. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hey, it's great to be here. Ike B, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm well and I'm blessed, man. Listen, I just want to say, first of all, just being in our group and the group that came through South Hall, Nyrone being one of them, we've had a reverend in there so long that we just needed a pastor. So now we have Pastor Hawkins, and we're very grateful for him and the work that he's doing in the Memphis metropolitan area.
Listen, I know you guys are excited about the reunion, and which is next week, and we will talk about that. Ike, we can't wait for you to get in town. But obviously, we must ask. John and I have been talking about it on a pretty much daily basis. Just the anticipation level, particularly for you two gentlemen, about this season. We've been calling it the most anticipated season in Tigers football history. Would you agree with that? Kind of where are y'all as we start this thing up?
Well, I'll tell you what. Just sitting back and just watching how everything plays, I kind of remember, I think it's very similar to the hype that we had coming into 1993. I think the 92 season, we had a really good season, played some good football, ended up 6-5. And then that previous year, we had a lot of great players coming back. The defense was stacked. We had guys like Steve Matthews, Matt Cody, myself, Tweet Martin, Larry Porter, Doc Holliday. And we felt like that we had an opportunity to go to a bowl game for the very first time in a long time at Memphis State. I think this season compares to it because of the noise that's been happening outside of what we're doing over there at South Campus and just the publication that we're getting as a whole. So I feel like the entire athletic program is taking a step forward. You know, one of my messages to the team is always beautify yourself and good things to come to you. So don't go out looking to the party with other people. Do your work inside, and the party will come to you.
How about you, Nyrone? I mean, you're here, so you're seeing it and hearing it every day.
Yeah, and, I'm just excited. One of the things that, like I said, I just tell them to just keep building. It's a process. And we're not catching anybody by surprise anymore. We have teams who don't want to play us anymore, i.e. Tennessee, Ole Miss getting off the schedule because that L to the Tigers is just not good. So for us to get to where we want to be, we're going to have to kick the door in. And this year is the season where we kick the door in. The thing that I'm most excited about, we know that our offense is going to make it do what it do.
Right.
You know, we got weapons everywhere and a great quarterback. But I'm excited to see what this defense is going to do with the defensive coordinator, with the people who stayed, and the people who we brought in. I'm excited because we brought people in for competition, but there are some Tigers like Whitlow Jr. who held on to his starting job and put in the work. Competition breeds good work. And when you got to compete for stuff and it's not handed to you, then guess what? It makes everybody around you better. So when we get the defense to kick up just a little bit, I won't have to hear Isaac Mouth all the time talking about we could have did this if y'all had tucked up for the offense. It's sort of like a role reversal from the 90s and the 80s when we played.
Listen, I would agree. And I saw you tweeting about it. I think we were watching game. It feels nice, too, to get some of that national recognition, right? To be picked in this spot. I saw where, I know we called it Memphis State, and some folks said, hey man, Nick, it's Memphis now. But the point is, when it came to Group of Five representation, Nick Saban, the GOAT, is saying, yeah, I think Memphis State has got a really good shot here. That's got to feel good for guys like you that were program builders.
If he had said Tennessee Normal School, I would have been excited. when the GOAT calls your name, then guess what? You're doing something right. So now we just got to go out, put the work in, and make those predictions come to light.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on one of the guys that will be, imperative for this season in Rock Taylor. I mean, there's nobody that's better suited to evaluate him. Him coming back was absolutely massive for this offense and for Seth and for the team. What do you see in Rock Taylor as a prospect and as a player?
Well, Well, let's be real. I'm sure the money is right for him to be back.
As it should be.
About Rock has an NFL body right now. He's had it since his junior year, and he's been the go-to guy, you know, since he's been there, been in the starting lineup. He's a good route runner. He catches the ball well away from his body. I think he's excellent at yards after the catch, which is everything you want in an NFL pro-style receiver, and I think he has that. He has that mentality. This year, I'm expecting him to take the next step and be in line for the Biletnikoff Award, get one of those awards into, you know, our trophy case. And I think he'll be that guy that'll be up for it this year, and they may win it.
Can y'all speak to sort of, I guess, there has to be a level of pride. I know there is, certainly what John and I talk about and the way we've talked about this program in the past. When you're able to, in this day of college athletics, where, like you mentioned it, the money now, you're able to retain a guy like Seth Hennigan, you know, out of a, you know, he's got Power 4 offers. But, you know, you've developed this guy. You've started him since he was a freshman. You've trusted him. He's your guy. And you've had to fight off. Right, the Power 4, the power structure, and all the offers he get. So to be able to retain a guy like that, for him to believe, hey, Memphis football is this special to me, and I want to finish it off right, that too's got to be something that maybe you stick your chest out a little bit more on. The fact that Silverfield's been able to keep Seth, I've called it one of his best accomplishments as coach.
Well, I think it's amazing. It's amazing that, you know, he, after his freshman year, I was like, man, somebody in Texas is going to get this guy.
Is going to pull him.
Somebody's
going to
get this guy a boatload of money. So, and that's one of the things that I'm trying to put together for our M Club. One of the things that even with the $25 million from FedEx, that money is not the money of other colleges. So what we have to do at the University of Memphis, we have to make the environment not only for kids that are playing, but for parents to be able to say, look, Memphis does it for my kid. We're not going to be able to beat you when it comes to a money offer, but the environment that what we give them from former players and the support that they get from the university, I think could be some of those determining factors. Now, we know that cash rule everything around us.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, at some level, the money is going to trump everything. But I want to make sure that we're doing our due diligence with the student athletes, with the parents, letting them know that this university is going to take care of them not only while they're playing sports, but after their career is done. It's one of the things Larry Porter used to say. You can go to Ole Miss, you can go to Alabama, but ain't no Fortune 500 companies in Starkville, and there's none in Tuscaloosa. And if you stay here in Memphis, your opportunities, if you don't succeed and make it to the pro level of getting a job that's going to provide for you and your family, is much greater.
Ike, I want to get your... go ahead.
Not only that, I'd like to applaud Coach Silverfield for the job that he's doing. I think he's taken a lot of unfair flack, but you just look at the product that he's put on the field year after year, and just being able to keep Seth on the squad. I mean, for Seth being able to stay with Memphis for 4 years or however long he's been there, I think that needs to be rewarded, and I think the responsibility is now in Seth's hands. So when he goes out and plays well, when he goes out and takes us to a college football playoff, that's the type of leadership that we need. And as a university, we can reward that by retiring his jersey or something like that, because he didn't have to be there.
Absolutely.
He chose to be a Memphis Tiger his entire career, and I salute that to him and Coach Silverfield.
No doubt about it. We're talking to Isaac Bruce, NFL Hall of Famer, Nyrone Hawkins, obviously 93 team going to be honored here. Ike, I want to get your perspective on just this new position that Memphis is sort of in, as, you know, whether it's ESPN or whether it's this national analyst or that national analyst. When you talk about that group of five slot in the playoff, Memphis is the team more often than not that is coming up. And that is just, like, so different than it has ever been for Memphis. It's usually been – they've been fighting for that spot, fighting for as an underdog to get it, as opposed to being sort of the team that was picked in the preseason. So going from where they've been historically to where they are now, how do you think is the best way to handle that as a program? What goes into that as a team?
You know what? Some of the even the internal conflict that we had between – you know, being a basketball school and a football school, we had to overcome that. And I think we've done a marvelous job doing it. I think it's very different being the huntee and versus the hunter. So we have to learn to be able to fight with our backs up against the wall now. And when we go up against teams that we're supposed to beat, quote unquote, we got to make sure we do that. We got to make sure we go out and play well. We play at a standard that Coach Silverfield is setting, so that whenever whatever color helmet lines up in front of us, they're going to get the best Tiger football that they've ever seen in their lives.
We know that Ryan Silverfield would not want us looking past North Alabama, obviously, but reunion week is next week, and you guys are going to obviously have something for the game on Saturday against Troy. Got a golf tournament going on as well, and an annual tournament that the M Club does, and we're honoring, as we mentioned, Isaac Bruce and that 1993 football team. Just tell us a little bit how folks can get involved, Nyrone. Can they get their groups out to the tournament and play with you guys?
Yes. We still have a couple of spots open, and the great part about this tournament is on a Thursday. Golf tournaments are not typically on Thursday, but I guess people were excited to see Isaac Bruce because tickets are selling pretty fast. So you can contact, I give you the website so you guys can put it on. It has a website where you can go and sign up for the tournament and the whole sponsorships. But man, we're just excited when we can get former Tigers back together. This reunion weekend is an all sports reunion weekend. So it's just not a football weekend. So Thursday is the golf tournament at Irene Golf and Country Club. Friday is the happy hour event for everybody who ever led who ever played at the University of Memphis at the Penny Hardaway Hall of Fame. We had to move it to the Penny Hardaway Hall of Fame because of the 11 o'clock kickoff for the game, so we couldn't use the new turf room, which is excellent. And then Saturday we have the game, so each former student athlete is getting two tickets to the game, and we just want to come out and be. I want our former Tigers to get on the train early. Don't wait till we get in the top 25. Don't wait till it looks like we're going to be there. And you're going to have to get your seats because they took 20,000 seats out of the Liberty Bowl. So you may need to go ahead and get your seats now and be a part of what's happening now. Yep. Be on the front end. Be early to the party. Don't be late.
Yeah, it looked like, I mean, have you seen it, Ike? Have you seen Simmons Bank? It's got, you know, it looks a lot different than back in your day. I'm calling Simmons Bank. You know the old Liberty Bowl thing over there. We call it Simmons Bank these days. Those upgrades look nice, man.
Yeah, I saw the beginnings of the renovations, but I saw the renderings that were made. It looks awesome. It looks like a great place to host some Tiger games. You know what? But I just want to say about the 93 team, just how special that team was. It was a special time in my life. We ended up starting that season going down to Starkville, Mississippi, versus a ranked Mississippi State team, and seeing them upside the head really nice. We ended up going 3-0 in the SEC that year and finished the season down at University of Miami, playing a great game that I felt like we could have won had we had Steve Matthews tossing the ball around the field. But it'll be a great time for me and my teammates. And I want to thank Nyrone Hawkins for heading it, my man Brock over at Memphis, my man Mark, the equipment manager, who always takes care of me so I can get my Memphis gear. So Memphis has always been great to me, and I always like returning the favor.
Who's the next? You know, we know that you're the first, Isaac. We're hoping that's it, that you're the first, and we're going to eventually. Who's the next Memphis football player that we can get in that Hall of Fame with you? I mean, I know that's going to require a lot of work after Memphis, but is he still coming up? Is it? I mean, it can't just be one. You can't. As much as we love you to be the only one, man, we want to. With the building of this program, you figure that's coming, right?
Absolutely. It's coming down the pike, but you know, I like Memphis pro football or pro whatever Hall of Famer. So I think the next one may just be basketball. I think Hardaway's doing a great job with the basketball program. He had a great basketball career. He's been on the ballot a couple of times. So, you know, Memphis being a basketball school, being known for basketball, I think it's time for that to happen.
Hey, I do want to get your thoughts real quick, Ike, while we're talking about NFL. You know, as a former, you know, 49er yourself, they're still no
easy,
deal.
Easy.
there's no Brandon Ayuk trade, and I mean, or just deal or trade, I should say. Like when it comes to organizations, and the valuing of you know those players, are the 49ers, you know, making a mistake here by dragging their feet on Ayuk?
Well, I think currently right now the 49ers have the leverage right now. I mean, because, you know, what we say as football players about the preseason is that the stats don't count and the checks are small. So with him having 1 year left on his deal and before he's able to go into free agency, the 49ers have the leverage. They can sit back. They can sit and wait. You know, I don't suggest Ayuk sit back and just leave that money on the table, but go ahead and play the season out. But by all means, take care of the business part. If you're up for a new contract and if you feel like you have some leverage versus a team, by all means, because they'll cut you at a drop of a hat. So make sure you get everything that you feel like you're worthy of. And I feel like Brandon Ayuk is one of the top-notch receivers in the league. He has great separation. He can take the top off of a defense. We saw him do that. And that San Francisco 49ers offense is totally different when you don't have a guy that can take the top off the defense, because what he does for that offense, you can see a Deebo Samuels get loose. You can see other guys. You can see the running game get loose. So if he's not there, that offense won't look the same.
Rev, we're gonna hit the pastor's church next week.
We should. Yeah,
I think we should all fall in and pay our respects. Recently installed, so proud of Pastor Hawkins here, as we all are, obviously, of you as well. But the man continues to do great things here in the city of Memphis. Man, we're so happy for him here.
No doubt. Yes, sir. He's doing great work. Great work, Nyron Hawkins.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Isaac, and thanks to Nyron Hawkins.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.